Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
This morning, I want to read out of the Old Testament book of Exodus, chapters 3 and 4, some portions from each of those, beginning at verse 1 in chapter 3. Now, Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Then the Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them to a land flowing with milk and honey. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? I have never been eloquent. I am slow of speech and tongue. And God said, I will be with you. But Moses said, Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, What is his name? Then what shall I tell them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. You know, it seemed as though Moses was having a pretty nice day tending sheep, and then this burning bush shows up. Moses didn't know it when he saw the bush, but he was about to be tested and more, much more. Then Moses hears the Lord from the bush, who sets him on a course that will test everything within him for years to come and cause him to re-examine who he is time and time again and what he is doing with his life. You know, God has a way of doing that, though, testing us, challenging us, pushing us, and yet always showing us time and time again of his presence and his faithfulness to be there in our lives. And looking back over our lives, we can see that that has happened time and time again. In moments of testing, he was there. In those times of testing, not only does it show that he was there and he proved his faithfulness, but it's also an opportunity for us to move toward him, toward God, toward that better place, to restore ourselves to him as his child. And in those moments, to re-examine, and maybe for the first time, to find our identity, who we are in God, or who we are in the world. Where do we find our identity? Do our priorities align with the things of the world, or do they align with the things of God? Moses was confronted with that. And it would be important for him that his identity be aligned with God to face what he was going to face time and time again, because it was there in that identity aligned with God that he would rediscover the power, the clarity, and peace to overcome his at times self-made inadequacies, his weaknesses, and uncertainty as to the next step in his life. In the Gospel of John, in chapter 11, Jesus says to Martha as her sister Mary, listened in, and whose brother, Lazarus, had just died. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. I am, Jesus says. It's not the first time he used that phrase. In John chapter 8, a few chapters earlier, we see Jesus having a heated exchange with the religious leaders. He was winning, and they didn't like it. He usually did, and they didn't like it at all. And so at one point, they said to Jesus, Do you really think you are better than our forefather Abraham? And Jesus replied in John 8:58, Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Now, for you English majors and those teaching English, perhaps, maybe that's not the appropriate way or the best grammar, but it's God. So, you know, you can have him let him have his day and say it the way he wants to. But those two words, I am, express God's timeless, limitless availability and presence. God simply always is and always was, and always will be. He is in the present, the past, and the future. Ready? All at once, right now. He is outside time and space. He is present and active. Great. But what was and is his purpose in saying that to Martha and Mary? Why did he say it to the religious leaders, knowing it would irritate them? Why did he say it to Martha and Mary? Well, the reason is because their focus, who they were, was on themselves, and he was moving it away from themselves and toward him and who he was. And in that, their identity began to shift, to change, to become aligned with him and to follow him. When he said, "I am the resurrection and the life," Jesus was quoting and referring to one of the great moments in history that we read portions of a moment ago from Exodus in chapters 3 and 4. The story of God using Moses 1,500 years earlier to deliver the Israelite nation out of their slavery in Egypt and leading them to the promised land. Moses was an Israelite raised in the Egyptian palace, but fled back to Israel after he ended up killing an Egyptian guard. So he was hated in Egypt. We find him contentedly tending sheep. And then God appears in a bush, a burning bush, and tells Moses to go back to Egypt and rescue his people. And as Israelites do, and as Moses had done, Moses freaks out, not just at the sight of a burning bush and God's voice in it, but also with the thought of going back to Egypt. Not only is he on Egypt's most wanted list for the Egyptian guard that he killed, but there's no way Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, is going to let his workers go. No way he's going to let the Israelites who do all the work go. Who would build the pyramids? Who would do all the cleaning and all the other work there? Moses stammers, who am I to do that? Besides, I stutter. You've got the wrong man for the job. This won't work. I'm a jerk, and no one will take me seriously. Moses is having a major identity crisis. He's anxious. He feels inadequate, insufficient, like he doesn't have enough pop. He's scared. He can't pull this off. He's sure. And you know what? He's absolutely right. As Moses, he can't pull it off. Not by himself. Moses' identity, his focus is on Moses, on himself. And it'll never happen with that identity. But notice God's answer in verse 14. Exodus. Again, chapter 3, God's medicine for Moses' anxiety. God says, "I am who I am." And you tell the Israelites that, and you tell Pharaoh that. Well, Moses had to think to himself when he heard that, "Oh, great, that clears everything up. I feel a whole lot better now." He'll understand that. They'll understand that. Not. God says, "Moses, look, this is all you need to know. I am who I am." In the face of Moses' insecurity and identity crisis, God does not say, "Moses, time out. Look, you're great. You can do this. You've got this. You're smart and educated, and you look good, and you're dressed well, too." To solve Moses' identity crisis, God doesn't say any of that to him. Instead, he reminds Moses of who he is, of who God is. And there it is. The answer to our own frequent identity crisis. When we're wondering if we can do something or not, or which way to go when at a crossroads or a fork in the road, or facing uncertainty, wondering what in the world could be coming next, or worrying about what others think about us and meeting their expectations for us. The answers are not found by focusing on who we are, but they're found by focusing on who God is. And who we are in him. God is saying to Moses, "Look, I've got you covered. I am here. I am available. I have all the stuff, all the supplies, surplus, and strength you could ever need. I am. And I have always been. I am. And will always be. I am. And will always be here for you." And that's the same thing Jesus did with Martha and Mary when they were beside themselves because of the death of their brother Lazarus. Jesus reminds Martha, "Martha, I am. the resurrection and the life. And in that moment, he is reminding her that he is all she needs. And that's what you and I need to know. And you and I need to remember that he is saying to us, no matter what we face, he is there. Therefore, focus on him, not on ourselves. Remembering that he is I am and has always been and always will be I am and is all we will ever need. Our identity is in that relationship now and all the way to eternity with him. Let me ask you this. When did you last hear Jesus say, I am to you? When did you last hear him say, I am here, and embrace that? He has, you know, even though we may not have heard, because there's a lot of noise out there around us, which hinders our hearing, gets in the way of and blocks and distracts us from hearing that one true voice of God, the one who needs to be our identity in this world, a world which attempts to pull us in every direction except toward him. Remember, in the midst of whatever, God's got us. And he's got whatever it is we're facing that we will need to get over, under, around, or through. And we can find ourselves and deal with it in him. In Moses' moment of sinking confidence, God was the answer. God was I am. In Martha's and Mary's grief and desperation, Jesus was the answer. He was their I am, which was more than enough for whatever they needed and faced. Guys, in every moment of our life, he is our I am. And that is more than enough for our needs. Find your identity there. I am. He's right there before you and me. Hear his voice. Believe it. Claim it. God's got it. He is all we need. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for these dear friends. Thank you for their lives. I thank you for their struggles and my struggles every day. But I thank you for those reminders like today and so many days if we would just listen for your voice, of your presence in our life, that you are saying to us, Scott, I am. I am here. I've got you. Follow me. Be in me. Take your identity from me. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for that reminder every day. And help us to just discern it, to feel it, to see it, to listen to it, and to hear it, and to move forward with you in it, in that relationship. Be with those traveling today. Keep them. Angels on the wingtips are playing around their car as they go. Thank you for the healing, Lord, that's taken place in so many places, including our family and my bride. Thank you for all you do for us and with us every day. Thank you for a precious girl whose birthday is today. And just thank you for her life and the impact she's had on so many. Thanks for all you do for us and with us. Thanks for loving us. In your son's precious name we pray, amen and amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us, and be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.